Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking about Israel today. We think about how Israel's being pressed and pushed into a corner, and so many people like the company Orange and other ones are trying to divest from Israel. Israel is a blessed nation. God is using Israel to bless so many people. It's amazing. You know, when you think about the earthquake that took place in Nepal, who was the first ones there? It was Israel's there with setting up medical hospitals for people to be able to get aid. But yet, it seems today that people have it in their mind, a dark mind, to be able to harm Israel, to come against Israel, just like what happened in the days right before World War II in Germany, when all of a sudden the leadership decided they didn't want anything to do with Israel. They wanted not Israel, but the Jews. They begin to persecute Jews and Jewish businesses. We call it the Night of Kristallnacht with broken glass and all the terrible things that happened at that particular time. What's happening today? It's happening today. As a matter of fact, so many people are trying to turn against Israel that now they have a brand new partner to be able to fight against Iran or stand against Iran, which is Saudi Arabia. This is so huge because our government, Secretary of State John Kerry, and our President Barack Obama and his cabinet are negotiating for Iran to get nuclear weapons. As a matter of fact, take a look.
At the Council on Foreign Relations, Israel's incoming Director General of the Foreign Ministry, Dori Gold, met with Anwar Majed Eski, his Saudi Arabian counterpart. These historic enemies sent the same message. Iran is trying to take over the Middle East, and it must be stopped. At the event, Israel and Saudi Arabia revealed they have met 5 times in the last year and a half in secret. That revelation and the rare public meeting seemed designed to send a clear message to President Obama's White House.
The Saudi message is basically President Obama, listen to Prime Minister Netanyahu. The Saudis identify fully with the Israeli perception of the Iranian threat. They totally disagree with a very naive misperception of Iran by President Obama.
Iranian press TV even covered the event, and the timing of the meeting seemed planned. It fell in the shadow of the June 30th deadline for the nuclear talks in Lausanne, Switzerland, between Iran, the U.S., and 5 other world powers.
In fact, the Saudis and the Israelis are very, very concerned about President Obama being preoccupied with Lausanne, which conflicts dramatically with the reality in the Persian Gulf. In fact, the Iranians are trying to topple every single pro-American Arab regime.
Former Israeli Ambassador Yoram Ettinger says the threat Iran poses explains the change in relations.
And as far as the Saudis are concerned, Israel constitutes the most effective life insurance, which they have right now, in face of Iran.
While Saudi Arabia, a major Sunni power, and Israel have been enemies for decades, they both see Shiite Iran's nuclear program as a threat to their very existence. Huge differences remain between these two historic foes, but for now their alliance seems a classic example of the Middle East maxim, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
The Lord showed me very specifically in a dream. He showed me a prophetic dream, a night vision of what was going to happen when John Kerry became the Secretary of State. It was very specific. We revealed it on VFN TV when God gave it. And God gave me the very exact time that John Kerry would be coming live on television to be able to speak about Syria, where they begin to target Syria and use those kind of Saul Alinsky tactics for Syria. But here we are today. He is negotiating with Iran, with his leaders, against Iran's leadership is against Israel, against Israel's existence. We're seeing all these things take place. And it's like, what was going to happen if John Kerry got in place, according to what the Lord told me? Well, it was going to be really terrible for Jews and for Christians. The Christians and Jews will be put in a lower place because of John Kerry being raised to a higher place. And he is under our president. And that very thing's happening today. All this was spoken prophetically before it came to pass. and they're wanting people to divest and turn their backs on Israel. Remember, you turn your back on Israel, you turn your back on the church, you're turning your back on God. That's what that is. And you don't want to make that choice. As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, we want to show you, this is what God said. God said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, to be a blessing. And Israel is a blessing to the world. God is blessing the world through Israel, even with water.
John.
Yes.
I mean, you see these things going on with Israel, and it is just wild, isn't it, to see how it just parallels with Germany in the 30s when, you know, the leadership there was just organizing everything against the Jews and God's folks, Christians.
Yeah. And we're seeing it all over again.
Yes.
And the question is, what are we going to do as believers? Okay, we've had history, we've got context, we've seen this playbook, we've seen this strategy before.
Yeah.
Are we going to fall to the same thing that's happened?
You know, I found myself, you know, I've been guilty of watching the History Channel with expectation.
You too? Don't do it. Yeah. Don't do
it. You watch it and you're thinking like, okay, I already know it's going to happen. But you're just like, maybe they're not. You know?
Right.
It's like watching a rerun of a football game. You're like, heck, it's going to change the score. Or
Saints, are you going to win? Are they going to win?
Don't even do it. It still didn't work. And so what you're looking right now, this is identical. This is identical to Germany, what was taking place.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, where do you stand in this? And God said to Israel, he said to Jacob, he says to Abraham, he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. And he showed him where Israel is today. He says, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be blessed to be a blessing. As a matter of fact, his great-grandson's name, Abraham's great-grandson's name is Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's who that is, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Jacob, Israel. And blessed to be a blessing. And we talked about just a previous program how God is blessing the nations through Israel with agriculture, but take a look at how he's given them wisdom and is blessing the world through water. Take a look.
More than half of this country's land is desert, and we have a severe water shortage. Moses led us to Israel, a country that has no oil, no water, not too good soil, and we had to make the best out of it.
Thousands of years ago, Moses had to strike a rock to get water in the desert. Well, today Israelis are taking a slightly different approach, using technology and creativity. In Israel, the main sources of drinking water are the Sea of Galilee and two underground aquifers. If rainfall is short, so is the nation's water supply. In 1953, Israel started building the National Water Carrier, a system of pipelines, canals, and reservoirs that carry water from the Sea of Galilee to the rest of Israel.
So we didn't have water. Okay, we developed water technology. One of the things that Israel has excelled in is taking what some people would see as risk factors or as curses and turning them into blessings. From the time of Bilam, the Jewish people have always been able to somehow turn the curse into a blessing.
The pipelines were a good start, but Israel's fresh water supply wasn't enough to support a growing country. So Israelis started looking west to the Mediterranean. For thousands of years, the Mediterranean Sea was the center of the ancient world, the crossroads between Europe, Asia, and Africa. And now it's one of Israel's greatest natural resources.
Israel is desalinating so much of its drinking water, the majority of our drinking water's origin will be the Mediterranean Sea by the end of next year.
Today, Israel produces 450 million cubic meters of drinkable water a day through a process called seawater reverse osmosis. Water can go from the ocean to the faucet in less than 90 minutes. The Israeli technology is now used in more than 40 countries around the world. And thanks to the Mediterranean, Israel may soon have something that was once unthinkable, a water surplus.
In this country, we don't have much water, except somehow, by the end of this decade, Israel is going to become a net water exporter. Just on today's news, there was an item about how Israel is stepping up the export of water to Jordan in order to supply water for all the Syrian refugees who are fleeing into Jordan.
While Israel produces drinking water from the sea, many farmers are getting water for their crops literally out of thin air. Ancient Israelites used stones to collect the dew every morning. Now an Israeli company is using plastic trays to do the same. The trays were developed by Talya Technologies, which means God's dew in Hebrew. Every morning, these trays channel the dew straight into the roots of the plants. They also prevent weeds from growing between the plants and reduce water usage by up to 50%. Israeli farmers have always made good use of their water, but it wasn't long before they realized that in order to survive, they also needed to start reusing it.
Today, Israel recycles 80% of its wastewater. The closest competitor is Spain with 10%. So we recycle more than 8 times more water than any other country on the planet.
Israelis developed a way to purify wastewater using ultraviolet light. This treated water is then used to irrigate crops.
If you use it for vegetables, then you would like to clean it to the extent that you can almost drink it. So it is treated to a very high degree. Today, 60% of the water that is irrigating fields in Israel is produced water and not natural water. And I'll give you an example of our farm here on the kibbutz. We grow jojoba. And we use only sewage water, only treated wastewater to irrigate our jojoba. And this is done all over Israel.
Israel may be short on fresh water, but the country's Negev desert is sitting on an underground ocean, too salty to drink or desalinate. So Israeli settlers found a new way to use it.
You cannot really fight nature. Nature will fight you back. We found out after the years that it's better to cooperate and to coordinate with what you've got.
Yoav Dagan is one of a growing number of Israelis who have left the ocean to go fishing in the desert. They build fish farms using the warm, salty water from underground. It's ideal for raising saltwater fish like tilapia, sea bass, and barramundi.
The place here is working without chemicals, without anything. It's very healthy, it's friendly for the environment, and it's good for us in a matter of the pocket. We are making good money, and this is by the bottom line.
At this kibbutz in the Negev desert, even the fish waste is put to use. Every week, the water in these tanks is replaced and pumped underground to irrigate the nearby olive grove. The fish waste in the water makes an ideal natural fertilizer.
As you can see on the side, the olives are growing around the farm, around the fish, and are doing very well without any other chemicals, only by the nutrients of the fish.
Israel has taken this idea to other countries struggling with water and food shortages.
We're taking African villages, teaching them how to essentially build fish farms. If you look at around Lake Victoria, the Nile perch were dying, and Israelis are now going in to teach the farmers how to grow them in ponds so that you can actually continue to eat the Nile perch.
Over the years, Israelis also found new ways to use less water. And as always, they started in the desert.
There's the story of the Arava. Sometimes as 20 millimeters of rain annual fall, very harsh climate. And still, thanks to drip irrigation, this became the vegetable barn of Israel. 65% of vegetable export out of Israel, mainly to Europe, is coming from the Arava.
Today, even the driest parts of the desert are blooming, with help from a process called drip irrigation. The idea is older than the state of Israel itself.
When the first settlers came here, young people came from the city and they wanted to be farmers. And they came to Kibbutz Chatzirim and they faced many challenges. Arid land, high salinity, not enough water. And there was even a time when they considered moving to another place. But then Ben-Gurion came, who was a leader with a real vision, and he said, guys, if you want to move, it's okay, but further south, not back to the north. And we stayed here and we continued and we did some experiment, but still we were struggling. Then we met the guy who invented drip irrigation.
That guy was an engineer named Simcha Blas. He got the idea for drip irrigation after seeing a tree that was larger than the others around it. After digging around the roots, he found it was being watered by a leak in an underground pipe.
So this gave him the idea, but it took him some years, actually, until plastic was introduced to start and make experiments with drippers that will emit water in small drops. And this is basically drip irrigation.
Blas met the farmers of Kibbutz Hatzarim, and together they started a company called Netafim, which means drops of water in Hebrew. Soon they boosted their crop yield by 50% and used 40% less water to do it.
Drip irrigation saves a lot of water. Producing more, getting more, yet not harming the environment.
For almost half a century, the company has lived up to its slogan, grow more with less, not just in Israel, but in 110 countries around the world, from sugarcane fields in the Philippines to tea plantations in Tanzania.
You know, India is now our number one country. The results, looking at the yield increase, were amazing. 50% of the farmers got an increase in yield between 25 and 50%. Another 25% of the farmers got an increase in yield of up to 75%.
Netafim even designed a system that works solely on gravity for places like Peru, where remote mountain farmers don't have electricity.
The plant doesn't know the difference. The plant doesn't know that you don't have a $20,000 computer behind the dripper. And it works beautifully. Everyone is talking about water scarcity. 70% of the water that we have available in the world is used for agriculture. Now, if we save only 15% in agriculture, we can more than double the available water for drinking and sanitation. In Hebrew, we have a term which is called tikkun olam, which is fixing the world. And this is basically what drip irrigation does. This is my personal goal and challenge.
Fixing the world. Why in the world would President Barack Obama, Secretary John Kerry, Iran, why does anybody have an enemy? Why do they have an adversarial feeling towards Israel?
Sure.
That they worked 70% of water that's used is used to be able to grow the things that we eat in agriculture, all of it. And if you could save 50%, then you can double the usage. The shortage would go away. They're the ones that actually figured this out. God gave them the wisdom to do that.
Not too long ago on this program, we talked about how there was a water drought in California.
Yes.
And you think
they
about
have the whole Pacific sitting out there.
Why not use the
technology?
They're
one of the ones, too, that talked about disinvesting from Israel, California.
Yes. And now they have a severe, severe drought.
Maybe if they just repent and say, oh, we're sorry, and we will invest in Israel and God.
That's right. Maybe they'll have that technology.
But that's, so we're showing you that now so that you can be aware that when people are talking negatively about Israel, Israel is blessing us. Israel is a blessing to the nations of the world. They are the first. I mean, they are quick to bless. And if somebody wants to stop that, they want to stop you from eating. They want to stop you from drinking. they're not happy. Sort of like the gangster in some community somewhere saying, you know, I'll protect you. It's like, I was fine before you came into the neighborhood. Right. And so you're looking at right here is this is just nothing but darkness trying to come against light. God's going to win in the end. The question is, are you going to stand with Israel? And I encourage you. That's why we're showing you this whole week, you know, the truth about Israel. Because one thing I noticed, John, as we're watching, they're dedicating this week to just seeing how God has blessed Israel to be a blessing, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Jacob. Mm-hmm. And how when you're seeing the news, secular news, and you're seeing leaders going, you know, we have this problem with Israel. It's like, what, for giving you food,
for giving for you helping water?
You know, we're going to talk about technology. But there's one thing I noticed that I think, and you're thinking about the Jews now, not just people in general, but just the Jews where God says, I'm going to choose you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to pull you out, I'm going to bless your nation. And he's doing that.
Mm.
And so then you can say, okay, what about the Christians? You know, that same blessing, the blessing of Abraham, is ours. But this is the thing I'm noticing, John. This is going to just shock you. It's going to just shock you. They appear to be working hard.
Yes.
That's not what they've been preaching in America, hard work. Have they been preaching hard work?
No, not at all.
They just said pennies from heaven, right?
That's it.
If you just lean this way, do this, do that, and show up for 20 years, it's just going to come out of heaven, right?
Yeah. I heard Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu say that we're the only nation in the Middle East that doesn't have oil. And he says if that happened so that we could actually use our brains and have to work hard till we figure things out.
Right. Not yet. According to Perry Stone, they'll have oil soon from fracking. But it's just they worked hard. They were just, you know, it's one of the successes of Israel you're going to hear and you've been hearing is they just don't give up. They just keep trying and trying and trying. How many people just give up?
Mm-hmm.
They say, it must not be God. I say, why? He's like, I stubbed my toe on the way out of bed this morning. He's like, come on, you got to keep push through. And if we will trust God, if we will repent, and we will work hard for God, as a matter of fact, live like he's coming back today and work like he's not coming back for 100 years.
That's right.
Work like Israel worked to develop the land, work that hard in this life, and there's just a huge harvest is going to come.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.